Thank you so much for joining me today on Just Praise Him Radio. I'm your host, Glenda Lomax, and my job is to inspire you to a closer walk with Christ. Now here's the show. Hello, believers. Welcome to the Just Praise Him Radio Show. I'm your host, Glenda Lomax, and the title of my message today is Water Walking Update. It's been a long time since I talked about water walking. I did a short series of videos back in, 2009 or 2010 about this, and I'm not sure I've even talked about it since then, so we're going to talk about it tonight. In light of the fact that more and more people are being led into water walks right now. This is what the Lord gave me to talk about. Okay, the term water walking is taken from Matthew chapter 14. And Peter answered him and said, Lord, if it be thou, bid me come unto thee on the water. And he said, come. And when Peter was come down out of the ship, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. Now, I want to explain some things. In verse 28, talking about Peter's saying, if it's you, tell me to come to you on the water. We see that a water walk starts when Jesus says, come or go. And when I did the series, the video series on water walking back when I first went on YouTube, I was only beginning to understand the water walk process. So when the Lord showed me some things in these verses and told me this is what he wanted me to do the podcast on today, I started looking a little closer and asking him for some new revelation. But when he saw the wind boisterous, this is when Peter was walking on the water, and then he realized the wind was blowing really hard, the waves are coming up high. He was afraid, and beginning to sink, he cried, saying, Lord, save me. And immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand and caught him, and said unto him, O thou of little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt? Jesus showed Peter that he had him in every situation. O thou of little faith, tells us the reason for the test, the reason for the water walk. O thou of little faith. And y'all may hear little noises in the background. I have my laptop on. There is a severe thunderstorm warning for my area, so the power could go out anytime. So I'm trying to get this recorded and uploaded. But you may hear like my phone go off with the weather warnings and all kind of stuff. Okay. O thou of little faith. That right there, those words, that is the reason that you're taken into a water walk or a wilderness, because you don't have enough faith. And the Lord is looking ahead of you and he's seeing something in your future that you are going to need faith for. So he's helping you by giving you the faith ahead of time. And when they were coming to the ship, the wind ceased. Okay? When the wind ceased, that was when Jesus got Peter by the hand and they got back into the boat. Okay? And the verse that says, and when they were come into the ship, the wind ceased. The wind ceasing signified that the test was over. Okay? Now, the Lord has shown me that a number of you who are going to hear this podcast are going to be led into a water walk. And that is the reason he wants this information out there. He's trying to make it a little bit more understandable for you. So let's talk a little bit about water walking. What exactly is water walking? Water walking is a wilderness journey that God leads you into, usually by saying, hey, I want you to go here, I want you to move there, I want you to do this or do that. You generally will not be told why you are being sent, only that he wants you to go. You will generally not know what your provision will be in the wilderness where he is leading you. In fact, he won't tell you you're going into the wilderness. There is only one major difference between a basic wilderness and a water walk, and that is on a water walk, you are sent there. You're told to go there. And in a regular wilderness, you just wake up one day and realize that you're there. You're out in the desert. So let's review what these verses are showing us. Peter said, Lord, if that's you, bid me come. Obviously, Jesus could not say, oh, no, it's not me, Peter. So he said, come. So a water walk starts when we put Jesus in a situation where he has only one choice. Think about that. If you're in a situation where you're a Christian, you're a professing Christian, and you're in sin, you're shacked up, you're doing whatever, you may have put him in a position where he has only one choice. Just think about that for a minute. I want that to sink in, okay? Then Jesus says, okay, I want you to go here or I want you to go there, okay? So we, like Peter, look at the water and we wonder if where the Lord has told us to go will really hold us up. And then we step out of the boat. That's the first step of our water walk. Then Jesus, who is saying, why do you doubt me? Reaches out his hand and rescues us just as we're about to go under. O thou of little faith tells us the reason for our wilderness journey. It is because our faith is too small for what the Lord knows is just ahead of us. When Peter stepped out of the boat was right after he had just seen Jesus feed the multitudes, 5,000 men plus all their families, with just a two-piece fish dinner. So he had seen the miraculous. He had seen stuff. But you know, we can see the miraculous over and over again and still not have faith, real Bible faith, for the miraculous in our own lives. He had seen what Jesus could do. But until we see something over and over and over and over again, it's still hard to believe. Especially if we're seeing it happen to other people, but we're not seeing it happen to us. Okay? Our head says, yes, he does miracles, but when you are in the position where you need a miracle, is he going to do a miracle for you? And you'll especially get tested on that in a healing wilderness, I'm just saying. And there's another thing, when you are in a wilderness of any kind, the two kinds of wildernesses I've been in, most of them have been provisional. They've been wildernesses of having to believe for my provision, having to believe God to pay my rent, having to believe him to make, you know, my car payment if I had a car payment, believing him to bring in money to pay the light bill, that sort of thing. The other kind was the one healing wilderness I was in. Neither kind is fun. It depends on what you need faith for. Okay, so the other thing is you'll be in a wilderness and Satan always whispers, yeah, he did that for them, but he's not going to do that for you, not after you did such and such. Okay? He always will tell you that. And that's common, and he does it a lot. So a wilderness journey is to build your faith in God's hand of provision, whether it's financial provision or healing provision. Okay? And on one side, you've got the Lord, and on the other side, you've got Satan, and there's you in the middle who has to decide on an hourly basis which one of them you're going to believe and which one of them you're going to serve. Okay, so let's say that you're a female and you're in a financial wilderness. Ooh, the Lord says this is a word for somebody. And you're in a financial wilderness, and let's say you are not going to be able to pay your bills that are due in like a week, your rent, your utilities, and whatever. But there's this man in your life that really wants to hook up with you. And he's saying, oh, come on, sweetie, I'll pay your bills. Let me move in there. I'll pay your bills. Live in sin with me, and I will pay your bills, and your kids will have a roof over their head. Choose this day, woman of God, who you will serve. That's what the Lord is saying to you tonight. Choose this day who you will serve. Choose wisely. That's an idolatry test, by the way. Not just a wilderness test. That is an idolatry test. Okay. And in a wilderness, you take the faith test over and over and over and over and over again until you can consistently pass it. All right? Here is one thing about going on a water walk instead of just being led into the wilderness. I looked back on my wilderness journeys. And out of all the wilderness journeys, there are two that I remember being water walks. The first one, when God sent me from Oklahoma to Dallas, the one where I cried all the way to Texas, and the last one, where I almost became homeless. They were all hard. They were all terrifying, whether they were water walks or not. But those were the two that I remember being water walks. I don't remember him sending me on the others. Okay, in both of the water walks, here's what I want you to see. The rewards were greater. They were increased after the water walk was over. The first one, when the Lord sent me to Dallas, I saw miracle after miracle after miracle. And y'all read those in the Wilderness Companion book, because I talk about the red code and the different stuff. I saw so many miracles in that wilderness. And that wilderness culminated in me getting one of my favorite jobs of all time, working for an amazing and compassionate boss and living in an apartment in Richardson that I really liked living in for 4 years. Not because it was a fancy apartment, it was an old complex, but it was large. There was plenty of room. I had the room that overlooked the pool and had the big trees, you know, where you could see the squirrels. So it was really nice for living in, you know, the Dallas area. We were right on at the edge of Dallas County. And my son was there with me. Okay, and the last wilderness, I saw so many financial miracles, like just jaw-dropping, where I didn't even see it coming and God would just send me a miracle and it was so amazing. And like nothing I'd ever seen before. And that wilderness, that water walk, culminated in me writing The Wilderness Companion and the Lord promoting me to working only for Him. So I believe, based on what I've seen in my own life, that the rewards for a water walk wilderness, because you are required to obey. And let me tell you something. When God says, I'm sending you there, or you go there, you sacrifice. You would not believe some of the things you sacrifice. When I went to Texas from Oklahoma, my children were grown. My children were in Oklahoma. My first grandchild, which was my grandson, I only have two grandchildren, was in Oklahoma. My mom was in Oklahoma. I did not want to leave, y'all. I didn't want to leave. My sister and her family's up there. Everybody that I was close to was in Oklahoma, and he was sending me to Texas alone. I was so scared. I had no money, but he just started cutting off my provision. I didn't have any choice. I have never, ever had to move out of a house because I couldn't pay the rent, and I had to there. And my rent was only $200 a month there, and I had to move out. So I'm staying in a motel, and I'm going over to my sister's room to eat because she was staying there, and then her and her husband were moved to another town, so then I couldn't eat. And I didn't have gas to go to my mom's house 20 minutes away. She would have fed me, but God just started cutting off my provision because he had to back me into a corner to get me to go where he wanted me to go. Okay, now, so both water walks and wilderness journeys are terrifying, but with a water walk, you voluntarily obey and you voluntarily make the sacrifices because you love God. You make the sacrifices he requires you to make. I had to sacrifice living near my family, who I loved so much and still love so much, to go to Dallas and obey God. A wilderness or a water walk is like taking a college course in how to believe God for what you need. They should be titled How to Believe God 101, because it is all about how to believe God. And that's what you're tested on over and over and over. He's given us all these amazing promises in his word, but most of them we don't ever collect on because we don't have to have that to survive. You know, we can support ourselves, right? You got a job, you got a paycheck, you can take care of yourself, right? Okay. In water walks and wilderness journeys, you generally will be stripped of or required to leave behind all your comforts. The wilderness is not a place of comfort, not even close. And your resources, such as savings account, etc., generally will suddenly be gone, or you'll have to empty them out for this or that, or you'll have to live on them, you know, until they're gone. You will be put in a position where they are quickly depleted, so your wilderness journey can begin, because until those are gone, your wilderness does not begin, because it can't. All right? As long as you still have financial resources, the provision part of your wilderness cannot start. Because it is all about learning to stand on the promises of God and to believe him to be your entire provider, okay? And as long as you do have resources, you will continue to rely on your resources and on yourself. Can I just tell you that? And he is trying to prepare you for a place that's coming up in your future where you will not have enough provision, or you will not have any provision. Or some place that he wants to put you where you will need to be able to believe for provision in order to fulfill something he wants you to do. The number one rule of water walks is this. Please hear me, y'all who are being sent, or just please hear me, because some of you are going to be sent and don't know it. The number one rule of a water walk is this. Do not step out of that boat until you know that you know that you know that you know you have heard from God to do what you're about to do. If you believe God's told you to quit your job and live on nothing, and you're all excited about it, that's great. Do not step out of that boat and quit that job unless you know for sure He has told you. Don't do it on a, well, I think He told me. No, you do not step out of that boat. The reason is because when your provision is gone, you are going to have to know for sure that you heard from Him to go wherever He's sending you in order to be able to believe Him for your provision. You will not make it otherwise. Please hear me on this. This is so important. Do not step out of the boat until you know for sure. Okay, just a few facts about the water walks and the wilderness journeys that I walked through, which might help you in yours. Most of and all that I remember of my water walks and wilderness journeys, they usually lasted about 6 months or so. Now, a lot of this depends on you. I don't remember any that lasted even a year. I'm not sure I could have stayed sane for a year in a wilderness because it really wears you down. If you are in the wilderness for over a year, you should seriously take a look at what you're being tested on, because that means you are not passing the test, okay? Are you in pride, rebellion, sin? Are you in a relationship the Lord has already said no to? Each one of these things will keep you in the wilderness a lot longer. It is up to you, okay? It's up to you. Are you demanding God meet certain conditions for you before you'll step out of the boat? Do not do that, y'all. Please don't do that. If you have been listening to me very long, you have heard me tell the story about my niece, Angie, the story in Amarillo where she kept getting robbed because God had told her to move back to Western Oklahoma, and she hadn't gone. So He started taking stuff away. The third time she got robbed, she was at work, and she was a sous chef in Amarillo and had another job too. She's a workaholic like I am. And her crew told her that she got robbed again. She said, uh-uh. And she thought they were playing a joke on her. And she walked outside and somebody had bashed in the window of her car. And she dropped to her knees right there in the parking lot in front of her crew. And she said, I'll go. Okay, I'll go. But what she had told God before that is she said, I'm not going till you give me a job. You give me a job and I'll go. And He's like, that ain't the way we're doing that. So don't put God in a corner, because it'll be worse for you if you do that, okay? Her rent money was stolen in one of those robberies. All right. Because I promise you, if you put conditions on God, He can change your mind about those conditions, all right? If Angie had not obeyed after the third robbery, He would have continued removing her provision where she was. But what happened, because she did obey after the third robbery, she did obey. By the time, before she even was moved in Western Oklahoma, God gave her the best job she ever had and the best paying job she ever had. But if she had stayed in Amarillo, He could not have given it to her because it wasn't up there. It was in Western Oklahoma. Okay? All right. You got to trust Him. He moves your provision ahead of you to the place He told you to go. Here's how we know that. And Elijah the Tishbite, who was of the inhabitants of Gilead, said unto Ahab, as the Lord God of Israel liveth, before whom I stand, there shall not be dew nor rain these years, but according to my word. He called for a drought, not a famine. And the word of the Lord came unto him, Elijah, saying, get thee hence, and turn thee eastward, and hide thyself by the brook Cherith that is before Jordan. So He told him where to go. And it shall be that thou shalt drink of the brook, and I have commanded the ravens to feed thee there. Okay, do you see this? God told him to go, but God had already set His provision in place before He sent Elijah there, okay? He said, Elijah, I want you to go to the brook Cherith. Here's how you get there. I've already told the birds to feed you. Everything's going to be okay. You can drink from the brook. I'm going to send food by the birds. You're going to have to-go food delivered every day. Elijah obeyed, obviously, but before He even sent Elijah, He had already talked to the birds and set up all the to-go orders, okay? His pizza delivery is already on the way. All right, so if the Lord is telling you to step out of the boat, just step. Just obey. Just start trusting him, because the longer you wait, the harder you make it on yourself. Do not put conditions on God. He's God. He's not somebody you can just tell him what to do, all right? Can I just tell you that? He is God. Don't make him show you that, because that could get real scary for you. You can work with God or you can work against God. But remember this, only God can bring you out of the desert. He can put you there anytime he wants to. You could wake up tomorrow morning and find out you're in the middle of the desert. But he's the only one who can bring you out of the desert, because he is the only one who knows the way out. Okay, so those are the things that won't help you. So what will help you? Number one, submit. Submit to the plan. Okay, Lord, I see you're trying to do something here. I'm going to do my best to submit. I don't know the whole plan yet, but I'm going to try every day to just do what you're telling me to do. Number two, study his word. Find scriptures on provision. Find scriptures on not being afraid, because you're going to be afraid in the wilderness. You're going to need those. On trusting him, on whatever you need the most help on. Start confessing them now. Listen to sermons about them. Your faith won't come right away, but it will come. And here's the thing. Once you get the word in your heart, when you're facing that situation, the word will rise up, because it's alive. It will rise up in you and it will answer that situation, and you will get through it faster. Number three, know that when you step out of the boat, this is what that journey is about. It's trusting God 101. In fact, I think I'm going to call this podcast by that name. Okay, number four, breathe. You got to breathe your way through this, okay? You just stay calm and breathe. Number five, do not look at your circumstances when you're leaving or when you get there, either one. Do not look at them. Trusting God is about walking by faith, not by sight, okay? You will have to train yourself on this part. Eventually, though, this will become second nature. That is what he's trying to get you to. Number six, just keep putting one foot in front of the other. When you don't know what else to do, do whatever's in front of you. Do the next thing. Be in prayer a lot. Be in his word a lot. Listen to his word a lot. That's what got me through those wildernesses more than anything else, I think. Number seven, stay away from sin. Stay out of wrong relationships. Here's why. If you get in sin, if you get in a wrong relationship, you will be there so much longer. So much longer, because that stops your journey. That stops your journey right there. So until you come out of the sin or come out of the wrong relationship, you can't move forward and finish your wilderness. It's going to mess you up. Number eight, praise and worship. You can worship your way through just about anything. Number nine, stay in the word, stay in the word, stay in the word, stay in the word. Okay, you need to know God's personality. You need to know more about his promises. If you're going to be standing on him, you better know what they are. I'm just saying. Okay, I hope this has been a help to you. There's a big thunderstorm in my area now. I'm going to try to get this uploaded before, you know, we have a power outage or something. They do have those up here. Jesus bless you. Thanks for listening. I hope y'all have a great week. Thank you so much for tuning in today to Just Praise Him Radio. You can contact me by mail at my new address, JPH Inc., Glenda Lomax, P.O. Box 60, Glencoe, Arkansas 72539, or by email at jphtoday@gmail.com. JPH is not affiliated with any nonprofit organization, church, or denomination. Have you ever gone through a time in your life where suddenly it just felt like your whole life was falling apart? I call these experiences the wilderness experiences. Wilderness experiences are a time of great uncertainty and change. There are times when our faith is tried and refined. After many experiences, the Lord spoke to me to write The Wilderness Companion, which is a virtual roadmap through the desert times of your life. Find out why you've been led to the wilderness. Find out what the biggest hindrance is to receiving provision in the wilderness. Find out what the seven temptations of the wilderness are. Drastically cut the time you spend in the wilderness by learning how to partner with the Lord instead of working against him. Every Christian needs to read The Wilderness Companion. It's by Glenda Lomax, and it's available on Amazon.com or wingsofprophecy.com. Amazon.com, The Wilderness Companion by Glenda Lomax. Do you know someone who is going through a wilderness season right now? Have you heard about the Wilderness Companion Study Guide? It's a workbook with 41 lessons, including new stories from the wilderness and questions to help you work through your own wilderness experience. Read each lesson, then complete the questions to apply the lesson to your own wilderness experience. Get your copy of the Wilderness Companion Study Guide today and get one for a friend. Available now on Amazon.com. The Wilderness Companion Study Guide by Glenda Lomax. Available on Amazon.com. Have you struggled with the promises of healing in the Holy Bible, not understanding why you could not make them yours? Have you tried reading, listening, confessing, and everything else you can think of, only to fall back into sickness again? Would you like to learn the truth about biblical healing once and for all in a way that is understandable and easy to apply in your own life? Learn the steps to healing and why they must be done in order. Learn why you confess over and over that you're healed and you still do not see the manifestation. Get your copy of The Healing Companion in print, Kindle, or new audiobook. Available now on Amazon.com. The Healing Companion by Glenda Lomax. Available now on Amazon.com.
Do you trust me to heal you? Yes, Lord, I trust you. Of course I trust you. I tried hard not to panic. Why was he asking me that? He did not say why he asked me that question, but I pondered it for weeks. Inside, I was more than a little bit concerned that I knew why he was asking me. Not because he wanted or needed assurance I trusted him to heal me, but because he wanted me to be assured I trusted him to heal me.